Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Wednesday, join us as we explore heart health and homeopathy, a show co-hosted by Homeopathy World Community founder and homeopath, Debbie Brook, with Dr. Adil Chimthanawala Kasim, MD cardiologist. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Debbie Brook, founder of Homeopathy World Community. We're into the month of May 2nd, 2012. This is show number 20 with our co-host, Dr. Adil Kasim, MD, a fourth-generation homeopath. And hopefully we will be able to get his mom, Dr. Sajira, onto our show or have a special video show with her, as she is a practicing obstetrician and also using homeopathy and energy healing in all its facets. And I'm going to check whether Dr. Adil, he is on. Okay. So...
yeah.
Yes, wonderful. I'm so happy that you have been able to return to doing the radio shows. And I would like you to fill in the listeners as to where have you been for the last month, busy with students, and how that went, because I have not been able to hear any stories.
The entire month of April, where we have a lot of heat here.
Okay, we're having problems.
46 degrees Celsius here. But throughout the month of April, homeopaths enjoyed a feast of get-together. There were about 30-35 homeopaths from India and abroad. And from morning 5 a.m. to evening 10 o'clock, we talked about homeopathy. So lots of cases were discussed, methods were discussed, approaches were discussed. At bedside, homeopathy was discussed, pre-operative, post-operative, pre-labor, post-labor, how to... revive the child with homeopathy, every smallest of small aspect, second prescription, how to repeat the potency and dosage. So we had a lovely time the entire April month, and now
okay.
I'm back doing the show.
Yep, we're getting a lot of feedback. It's I don't know whether you have changed any of your setup. You might want to sign out and call in again and see if we get a better connection. Or maybe I will have to do the same thing. But there's so much feedback. We were at a rock concert and the speakers were making a lot of noise. So do you want to check what's going on there? And let me know if you can hear me okay.
I can hear you very well. I mean, I'm with the same headset and every mic. I mean, no problem from my side.
Do you not hear the feedback that I'm receiving?
No.
No. Well, it's very, very almost impossible to hear you. So I would suggest that you sign out for a minute and then call back in and see if that alleviates the problem. And if not, then I'll have to do the same thing.
Okay. I'm signing out now.
Okay, good. Okay. And I don't know about our listeners whether they had the same problem. Thanks, Healing Peace, for putting it out, the link out on Twitter and Facebook, and we do hope that other people will do the same thing. Dr. Adil has signed out for a minute, and you know what? Let me see if he didn't sign out. Let him try one more time. How's the sound now? I clicked him out, and hopefully he will sign back in again. So these have been ongoing shows. He has been with us for 19 shows before this, starting way back months ago, and teaching us fantastic methods of understanding our bodies, of how a true homeopathic physician will observe the patient and give the right prescription and select the right homeopathic remedy. He teaches us about caring for ourselves and noticing the signs and symptoms of everything from hypertension to heart failure, heart palpitations, and diabetes. He teaches us about exercise and thyroid disease. There's a whole list of shows on Homeopathy World Community. The last show that he did was Understanding the Rubrics in the Repertory, which is a book that homeopaths use as a resource and a guide to look up symptoms and understand which remedies will be appropriate for those symptoms. And so he went through the chest rubrics, they're called, on our last show all the way back in March. And we skipped the month of May while he was teaching, and he just gave us a little rundown of what he was doing. Hopefully he'll be able to sign in again. Okay. Also, we want to let you know about other shows that we have going on a regular basis. We have on Monday evening with Grant Bentley from Australia, Facial Analysis Method, and he has been teaching us about physics, the laws of nature, and how they pertain to each and every one of us, how all of us are connected on a very deep level, on a very essential level of neutrons, protons, electrons, and the forces of nature, and how we express those forces in everything that we do, and also in how we are materialized in this world. And he looks at our face and our facial structure to see which of those predominant forces are dominant in the way we respond to stress in our lives. And that is fascinating to listen to him. He also has many courses available for people who would like to learn his method, and I highly recommend going to www.bcch.org to learn more about that. And then, of course, on Wednesday, we will be speaking again with Dr. Adil, who is a cardiologist, and his clinic deals specifically with patients and their heart, and holistic medicine, because he provides for them breathing exercises, meditation, yoga, Reiki, all these other practices, which totally amazes me that there is a physician, an MD, practicing cardiology, specifically this form of energy medicine, and his patients do heal. They do get well, and they very often do not have to continue on with allopathic drugs. He doesn't automatically take them off, but if he can, he will. Then on Thursday at 11 a.m., we have Dr. Christina Chambrow, a very lively teacher who is providing all of the lessons for free on our shows on Blog Talk Radio, Homeopathy World Community, and gives us hints and tips on how to observe our pets, how to care for our pets. And while we do that, we're also caring for ourselves, how to feed our pets properly, how to journal and keep a diary, note what is baseline, what is normal, what we have noticed about our pet. And then over time and the years that we have our relationship with our pet, what are the changes that we notice? What seems we can learn the signs and symptoms of illness way before they actually manifest as pathology. And so she is a wonderful teacher and will be giving many, many workshops this summer. So if you're in the United States on Homeopathy World Community, click on the lady with the hat and you will find out all of the list of, I think we've gone over 20 shows with her already, and she has a list of workshops that she is giving in the United States this summer. So so you won't want to miss those. Also, following Dr. Chambreau, we will have Alan Phillips, regular co-host, and he's been doing these shows for 2 years with me, talking about vaccinations and your rights in the United States. And while I'm talking, I'm still checking in with Dr. Adil. He is not able to sign in, obviously, because I don't see him. That's okay. We have plenty of time to talk today, and we will be patiently waiting for him. So Alan is very passionate activist and advocate working in legislative action for our health rights, specifically dealing with the issue of vaccinations, as he had personal experience with this for his own son and wanted to know what is the right thing to do for my son's health, for my family's health. And because he is a lawyer, besides being a phenomenal composer and musician instrumentalist, because he has created the intro to his show, he teaches us to be critical observers, critical listeners, and critical readers of what information we receive every single day from the major mainstream media. And that has to do with our health. So he wants you to know about NVIC, the National Vaccine Organization, on the internet, where you can go and become of your own state's legislative action if you are adamant also about taking control of your health, of your family's health, without having impositions of the law telling you what you must do, like whether you have to have your child vaccinated when you send them to school. What about vaccinations if you are employed in the health industry and you work in a hospital or a nursing center? I see somebody is calling me on the line, and I don't want to put you on hold right now, so I'm not going to be able to answer the phone. Instead, I'm going to keep trying to get Dr. Adil and see where he is. Okay, so Yes, I'm listening to my phone messages, and everybody probably has had that experience while they're doing a show or doing something, and they really put all of their phone messages on hold. So here we are. Today, we are going to be talking about the chest rubrics with Dr. Adil once he gets on, and I want to finish letting you know about the super programming that we've got on Blog Talk Radio throughout the week, and also with our video shows that have started up. We've already gone past a month of those. I want to finish up with Alan Phillips. Not only does he do the show with me as a regular co-host, but we also have Greg Glazer, a constitutional lawyer from California, who comes in and talks about the origins of health freedom, and to understand who and how this became a national issue for people in America, and also it is an issue for people around the world. And we, each of us, create precedents that the others follow. So if one state does something, then the rest of the states in the United States have an eye on that, and everybody makes adjustments, whether it is the government or the people, as to how they can attain their rights. And to do that, we need to know a little bit about history. And that's why we are so happy to have Greg Glazer on. He will be on May 10th. So this week, Alan will be on talking about current events. And then later on, May 10th, we will have Greg Glazer back again. As for the live video shows, that is called Health In, the Health In Show. We have a wonderful producer, Amnon Nissan, in Nissan Communications. I go into a professional radio and Video Studio. And there we have live guests come on. And if you have suggestions for show topics, we would love to hear what those are. If you have suggestions for special guests who can come on and talk to us about health, bringing health into our body, in our mind, in our spirit, in our physical body. What are the things that you have learned and done in your life that have helped you? And by learning from others, we really enhance and move forward in our healing journey. Okay, so I would like to tell you a little bit more about the video shows that we have done in the past. And so to let you know that they are all archived, just like these radio shows are all archived, so are the, okay, let's check the back door here. Nope. So Dr. Adil says that he has signed in, but he does not seem to be here. What I can do, I might have to sign myself out and sign myself back in again. Okay, we're at a crossroads. He says he is in, and I don't see him. So what I'm going to have to do is sign out and sign in. So I'm checking with Dr. Adil, and since this is a one-man show, I work the dashboard, I work the comments, I'm on Twitter, I'm everywhere. And since I do that, and I don't have a show producer for the Blog Talk Radio, it's possible that I might have to sign in and sign in again in order for him to get logged in. Okay, so he says he is signed in, but I do not see him at all. So I will sign out and then sign in again and see if that helps. Okay? All right, I'll be back in a moment. Let me try it. Okay. How are we doing?
Hello.
Hello.
Am I audible now?
It looks like we have two other folks in. Has someone else besides Dr. Adil called in?
Hello.
Namaste. This is Mark here for the peace.
Okay. We have a visitor. Mark is signed in also. He called in, and he has been in a great supporter of our show and has been tweeting it and putting it on Facebook. Thank you, Mark. So I think we're going to go ahead and listen to Dr. Adil teach us about the chest rubrics.
Am I audible?
You're good.
Hello?
Yay, we're back. We're live.
Thank God.
And just keep your sound up and we'll be great.
Fine. So last time we had a great session on rubrics of understanding rubrics of chest chapter from the Kent's repertory. And we actually started with the certain rubrics starting with A, like abscess. Abscess in the axilla, abscess in the lungs, and the remedies used down there. Abscess in the mammary. Then adhesion, the second rubric, which is the sensation of. And adhesion of the pericardium. Now, adhesion of the pericardium, I'm briefly going through all the rubrics which we have discussed previously, because it's practically more than 2 weeks that we have discussed this. Now, adhesion, there are two sub-rubrics, adhesion, sensation of. So it's a sensation, so that's not an issue. But the second sub-rubric is adhesion of the pericardium. And the only drug given is graphitis. And adhesion of pericardium is very well known in this part of the world. Particularly with tuberculosis. Tuberculosis is one disease which is rampant throughout the Indian subcontinent. That includes India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nepal, Sri Lanka, and other countries. And since past many years, that is past one decade, we are seeing unusual cases of tuberculosis, particularly tuberculosis pericarditis. I remember a young man I had seen about a year back having presenting to me with breathlessness and chest pain. And the chest pain was continuous type and was increased on breathing. He was ultimately diagnosed on echocardiography with tuberculosis pericarditis. And he was not responding to anti-tuberculosis drugs because of 18 months of, after even after 18 months of therapy of anti-TB drugs, he was not responding. And that's the reason why he had come to me. And we, in fact, started him on Aurum Met after his complete history taking. He showed a remarkable improvement. And finally, we did give graphitis and the tuberculosis adhesions which were developed. So we have got, taken care of. So we have got eco reports previously and eco reports after we had given graphitis. So indeed, this rubric works. Adhesions of the pericardium. I have a first-hand experience of those of that rubric. Then we have got another rubric, affections of the cartilages, affections of the heart. Now, this is a very broad rubric.
Dr. Adil, may I interrupt a moment? Can you tell us when you said adhesions, did you say, or what was the first thing that you used for the graphitis?
Adhesions. Before graphitis, yeah, adhesions.
Okay, so what if you were not a medical doctor, how would you describe these adhesions?
It's an echocardiographic diagnosis. The only thing you get is a pericardial rub. For example, when you put your stethoscope on the chest, the chest piece on the near the nipple, you get a sound lup dup lup dup. This is normal. But suppose if you get lup krr, lup krr, lup, that is a rub, what we call as a pericardial rub, and it's a very sure sign of pericardial adhesions. Now, if they're initially developing pericardial adhesions, you can give certain remedies and try to, diffuse them. If not, then the two layers of the pericardium stick together and it causes constrictive pericarditis and many complications. So, luckily, this patient which had come to us was quite early in pericardial pericarditis stage. And that is why we could give him relief with graphitis.
Okay, and you first gave the Aurum Met.
Yeah, Aurum Met was given on his history for the active tuberculosis. Because after 18 months of therapy, he was responding. He was deteriorating. Not only his appetite was decreasing, his weight was decreasing. He still had got fever, evening rise of temperature, which is very particularly of particular of tuberculosis. Plus, in that, the biochemical parameters also showed that is tuberculosis titers, what we call as TB, IgG and IgM. Immunoglobulin G and immunoglobulin M, the titers are tested for tuberculosis. M is for active infection and G is for chronic infection. So both M and G were high in his case. But after giving Aurum Met, repeating, we started with 30, then jumped on to 200 and then to 1M and then 10M in monthly doses, single dose. And he showed remarkable improvement as far as his appetite, physical genitals were concerned. We did this TBIGG repeated, and after 4 months, it had significantly come down.
So for a person who is unfamiliar with homeopathic care, this might seem interesting, the fact that you're looking at a patient who has an ongoing infection with fever and everything else that is imagined increased white blood cells and stuff, and you're giving an energy medicine, not antibiotics or something to subdue the infection. Is this correct? Am I listening?
Yeah, exactly. Because the antibiotics have already been given. I mean, many patients come to us after they receive a load of antibiotics, but they do not respond to those antibiotics, and that is why they take help of homeopathy. But now what I want to prove that point is that with such simple rubrics, like additions, the one is a sensation and the other is an actual pathology, additions of the pericardium, and it's a very, very frequently seen pathology. So, in such cases, we should take help of homeopathy. In early stages, we can actually regress the pathology as we did in this case. And we're quite happy with our, using such drugs. So, energy medicines, yes, the name energy may be there, but pathological regression is also seen in certain cases, if not all.
I'm here. I put myself on quiet while I was listening to you.
Okay.
And so you're going to be giving us more wonderful stories and as you go through the rubrics of the repertory. And for those who don't know, the repertory is the book that is a collaborative effort of many homeopaths over centuries that tells us the symptoms and their the matching remedies to those symptoms.
Yeah. So, and since it has been, it's a collaborative effort, many drugs, many symptoms are given, and many drugs are given, even single mark drugs are given. If people are not familiar with the repertory, it's just a dictionary. It's a dictionary where we find out the remedies for a particular symptom. It may be linked to a particular disease syndrome or may not be linked to a particular disease syndrome, but it gives us a clue to which remedy to which this symptom belongs to. So, continuing with that further, we have got other rubrics starting with A, that is affections of the heart. It's a very broad rubric, so you can't take this rubric clinically, although it is given in the repertory. Then we have got air sensitive to, alive, sensation of. So, sensations are not to be taken off. But per se, because they don't represent symptoms. What one interesting rubric here is alternating chest symptoms alternating with eye symptoms. Now, one would wonder how chest symptoms, or for example, chest pain or chest discomfort, alternates with eye symptoms. Yes, we have got various disorders. For example, one disease called as Devic's disease. It's a very, very common disorder occurring in HIV, AIDS disease, AIDS, wherein when the patient shifts to AIDS, then he or she may have lung symptoms, constriction of the chest, alternating with eye symptoms, that is diminution of vision or decreasing the field of vision or recurrent conjunctivitis or iridocyclitis. So we do have symptoms, patients where they present alternating eye chest symptoms alternating with eye symptoms, and the only drug given here is arsenic. Then again we have got chest symptoms alternating with diarrhea. Diarrhea alternating with bronchitis, another single remedy called Senega, a wonderful remedy where diarrhea alternates with bronchitis, a very well-known disorder called ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease, wherein you have got diarrhea alternating with constipation as well as with bronchitis. Then we have got aneurysm of the heart. Now, aneurysm of the heart, initially aneurysm was a very, very common pathology found, with syphilis being very prevalent in the earlier times. But now, aneurysm is found. Let me elaborate on this. An aneurysm of the heart is a condition that can occur after a heart attack or myocardial infarction because of inadequate resistance of the new scar tissue. See, whenever the heart undergoes an infarction or a heart attack occurs, the area where the blood supply has been lost, it develops a scar tissue. And in that case, the heart can undergo an aneurysmal change. It should not be confused with the coronary artery aneurysm, which is the aneurysm of the vessels supplying the heart, but not the heart itself. Again, it should not also be confused with pseudoaneurysm or a myocardial rupture. Sometimes the entire muscle of the heart ruptures, which involves a hole in the heart and not just a bulge. So the word aneurysm refers to a bulge or a pocketing of the wall or lining of a vessel, commonly occurring in the blood vessels at the base of the brain or in the aorta, and rarely in the heart. Now, what causes an aneurysm? See, mainly these aneurysms are seen in the walls of the left ventricle or the lower chamber of the heart, and is thought to occur here as the blood in this area carries the highest amount of pressure. Now, this blood forces the walls to bulge. It can develop very slowly over many years and does not often cause any problems during this time. So basically, the patient does not know that he or she is developing an aneurysm. It is only found out if he or she is undergoing a routine examination for an echocardiogram or an ECG. Only then one can notice an aneurysm. An aneurysm is noticed only if it, symptomatically, you can notice if it ruptures. That's the only, but the patient suddenly goes into shock and it becomes a cardiac emergency. So suppose, and I should salute Kent and his colleagues who have included aneurysm of the heart and included two drugs, Cactus and Carbovege. Now, personally, I don't have any cases of aneurysm, so I have not tried those remedies. But aneurysm of large arteries are very well seen. Aneurysm of the aorta is very well seen. And we have got numerous drugs like baritacarb, calcirecarb, spongia. Now, these drugs need to be given when aneurysm of the large arteries are causing symptoms, pressure symptoms, because if there is a large aneurysm, a large ballooning of the arteries, then it can cause pressure symptoms. And in such cases, it can cause a recurrent dry cough to which spongia responds. I mean, it responds to spongia. So very well, I mean, even in those times when echocardiogram and nothing was available, still Kent and his colleagues could bring out this rubric, suggest some medicines, do a proving, and today we are seeing the benefits of because we are using them in daily practice. So this was aneurysm of the heart.
Then you have not seen personally?
Yeah, aneurysm of the heart I have not seen personally, but aneurysm of the large arteries is very well known. And
right.
I have seen cases.
And aneurysm in the brain is fairly common in the legs and the
yeah.
large limbs?
Yeah, it is called as Berry's aneurysm. In fact, I remember two cases, and I thank homeopathy, where we could save, and in fact, one was my nephew, age 23 years. I'm talking about 2004, 25th May, it was Christmas. And at 11 o'clock in the morning, he suddenly said that I want to go to sleep. And okay, I mean, he was with his colleagues, his friends at a room. And so they did not disturb him and he was asleep. After 5 hours, when they tried to wake him up, he could not get up. And they found him that he was unconscious. They rushed him into the hospital and the hospital people did a scan, an MRI. And from an MRI, they came to know that it was a ruptured Berry's aneurysm. And they immediately called us. I mean, he was in a different place, not at Nagpur. He was in Mumbai, Bombay. So he was called. And I immediately told them to start calcirecarb. Because even in the hospital itself, they opened up his skull, did a surgery, minor surgery, I mean, absorbed the clot. But there were so many aneurysms. So luckily for him, he came out of coma within 2-3 hours of surgery. And from then on, it's now 2004 and 2012, 8 years. He is married, he has a child, perfectly normal. And about 7 to 8 doses of calcirecarb have been given to him. And we repeatedly do an MRI to see how the other aneurysms are doing. Because this was the first time. So, in fact, these drugs do act. How they act? It would be difficult to, speak as far as pathology is concerned. For example, calcirecarb. Now, calcirecarb is basically his constitutional remedy also. And in fact, again, a drug for aneurysm of the heart. So, aneurysm of the large arteries. We do have experiences of such kind.
So do you use this rubric in Kent that you're talking about, the aneurysm of the heart, as also including the other types of aneurysms?
Yeah, we have to extrapolate. We can't just stick
okay.
to one area where it is given. We have to extrapolate it because probably at those times when CT scans were not available, so they were not aware of Berry's aneurysm or such things. Maybe, I don't know. But we do extrapolate because aneurysms can occur any and everywhere and they are a potential problem for being rupturing any time. So the patient's life is all constantly at danger. So if we have a remedy, for example, like drugs like calcirecarb or baritacarb, which is given in 2 marks here, and even lycopodium and lycopus, all these drugs do prevent the rupture. So let the aneurysm be there. I don't say that they can resolve the aneurysm or decrease the aneurysmal size. No, not that sort of. But now see, it's 8 years, and I'm giving you an example of my own nephew. So
right, this is alive. This is a very close to home for you, and
actually, when the aneurysm had ruptured, and when he had gone into coma, we actually had thought that we had lost him, because that was the state, and we started calcirecarb at that time empirically, come what may. I mean, let the drug go. And now, whether that has shown its effect or it's miraculous, I don't know what to say. But we have a live case, and the case is still of aneurysm. And likewise, we have got two other cases, and both other two cases have the same story, other being my cousin's sister, she also has aneurysm of the brain, and similar thing happened again on 24th of November, where she suddenly felt unconscious. We did an MRI, found an aneurysm. So I don't know whether Berry's aneurysm runs in a family or not. I don't know that. We have not tested, we have not done an MRI. But for her also, we have given her drug is pulsatilla. And it's now probably 10 years or more. She has never had an episode of such rupture or anything.
But this illustrates a very important point, that even though a person listening to the show might hear, wow, if I just give the person who's in danger of this aneurysm calcareocarb, they'll be fine. But no, you're giving an example that it has to be selected precisely for the individual and who they are.
Exactly.
Okay.
Individualism is very important in homeopathy. These rubrics or these symptoms help us to reach the remedy, but that does not mean that we should select all the remedies, one of these remedies, for a particular symptom. No, we have to take the holistic approach, the entire individual in question, and then select the remedy. For example, in sister, pulsatilla was given and repeated again, whereas pulsatilla is not a rubric at all given in aneurysm of the heart or large arteries. Then we have got another rubric, angina pectoris, a huge rubric with a lot of remedies. It doesn't help us clinically. Then we have got anxiety in chest. Now, anxiety in chest is a very, very common rubric. Rather, I have seen lots and lots of patients complaining of anxiety or restlessness in chest, or rather than complaining of pain in the chest or chest discomfort. Anxiety chest. And luckily in homeopathy, we have got loads of sub rubrics. Anxiety in the morning or forenoon or evening or night, and anxiety in air, anxiety ascending steps are very, very common now. The drug uses hyoscyamus. We use it quite often here. Hyoscyamus, a drug one cannot think for giving it in cardiac disease or angina pectoris, hyoscyamus. But hyoscyamus really works wonders when a patient really complains that, sir, if I walk about, say, a mile or so, I start getting some vague feeling, some anxiety, some restlessness in the chest. I don't know how to describe it, but I get this type of feeling. And you give one or two doses of hyoscyamus in 30 potency or 6 potency, and that anxiety is taken care of. Normally, whenever a person talks of anxiety, we always think of drugs like arsenic or Rustox. But in such cases, we're specifically connoting angina pectoris, representing an anxiety in the region of the chest, we have got drugs that is hyoscyamus.
When they say the chest, do they point to any particular location? Is it only in the chest, in any particular side, in the center, in the back?
No. I mean, it's very difficult for the patient to point out. Anxiety is a vague feeling in the entire chest. He will use the entire palm of the hand, or she will use the entire palm of the hand, saying, this is here, on the chest I'm feeling, doc. But I just can't tell you what I'm feeling. It's a vague feeling. It's a restlessness. So this sort of sentences when the patients complain, when they're not unable to describe, when you specifically ask them, are you having pain? No, we're not having pain. Are you having heaviness on the chest? No. Are you feeling some tightness or constriction? No. I'm just having some vague, some anxious feeling, some apprehensive feeling. This feeling, which is undescribable, but is very much there and definitely points to angina. The drug is hyoscyamus, a drug which you would not normally think of when thinking of angina pectoris.
Okay. So I better get my book out. I've been listening to you intently, but I'm not even looking at my book. Okay. So up to the repertory, the chest rubrics, and keep going.
Yeah. Another very common rubric which patients complain, specifically bronchial asthma patients would complain that moment, doc, when I lie down my back, or when I lie down on the left side, I get this vague feeling of anxiety. And we would not think of a drug like pulsatilla or sulfur, pulsatilla is 3 marks given here and sulfur 2 marks. And in asthmatics, the very, very common symptoms, asthma generally aggravates at night, and we only think of arsenic. Generally, or we may think of psoriasis because the patient is lying on the bed, or Kali Kab. But why not think of pulsatilla, or why not think of sulfur, or why not think of synchrosis or tarantula graphitis when the patient has experiences anxiety? Because a very one of the most common, it's much more commoner than breathlessness or cough. The three symptoms which are most common with asthma is first is breathlessness, second is cough, and third is an anxiety or vague feeling. But the patient may not have all the three. Patient may just have one anxious feeling in the chest, and it particularly occurs when lying down. So Senkris or sulfur or pulsatilla is the drug. Then another very common symptom which patient says that, doc, when I walk, moment I start walking, I can walk about say a few meters or so, and then I get this vague feeling. It's not a chest pain. I did a TMT and TMT has come down to positive. TMT means treadmill test. When a treadmill test comes positive, and it is, then the drug is Meniantis. Now Meniantis is a very very unheard of drug. It's a drug which is not used very frequently even in normal practice with homeopathy, but a wonderful drug though for anxiety when walking about. This also occurs in patients suffering from emphysema or patients suffering from chronic obstructive airway disease. Moment they start walking, they can walk a few meters and then they start experiencing a vague feeling before actually the breathlessness develops. This is a very, very important symptom. So Meniantis is a very, very good drug for not breathlessness alone, but anxiety or restlessness in chest due to bronchial asthma or due to cardiac asthma or any of those two conditions.
Can you spell that one and tell us a little bit about that particular drug?
Meniantis, I don't know much about this drug per se. I mean, I hardly have tried it. But in one patient I remember, she's a 65 years old female and known case of bronchial asthma since past 25-30 years. She was not responding to drugs, her routine drugs like arsenic and all. And she had this particular symptom that moment she started having, she started walking, she used to have, she used to develop a vague anxious feeling. In Hindi, we call it ghabraat. Now, and it's a very, very common symptom which people come with. And I tried giving her many drugs, but they were not working. And finally, we gave her Meniantis. Meniantis is a plant, and of course, I don't remember much of the botany about it. A wonderful remedy for headache, as well as the cough and anxiety chest walking in. So people can refer to this drug, Meniantis. It is short, it is abbreviated as M-E-N-Y.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we have got anxiety region of the heart, then you have got anxiety moving about, etc. Then another rubric is aphthy of the nipples, and particularly aphthy. Aphthy means small boils. Small boils which may be bleeding, which may not be bleeding, but here the rubric is given aphthy of nipples bleeding. And the final, the best drug, I have seen it multiple times in our hospital wherein borax has been used. And borax is the only drug where of aphthy for nipples, and it responds very soon. Many times it happens that a patient has undergone or a female has undergone a C-section, and if the child is not allowed to suck earlier, I mean in a, immediately after the baby is born, we allow the baby to suck the milk. But if the breast has not been sucked, and if it's day 2, day 3, then you tend to develop small painful aphthy, painful small boils, which does not have any, it does not contain water or pus, but they're very, very painful. So moment the baby starts sucking, the mother cries in pain. They are not even lacerations, they are not in cuts, they are not in fissures. They are small boils which can be clearly seen. And occasionally they may bleed when once the baby starts sucking. And that is the time you need to give borax. Otherwise, the mother will stop feeding the child because of the pain. It's a very, very common condition seen. And borax gives wonderful results for aphthy of the nipples, bleeding nipples particularly.
This is very helpful. And also to inform the listeners that when we're talking about rubrics of the chest, we're not just talking about the ribs, the lungs, the heart, but we're also talking about the female organs. which might sound unusual for the way it's organized, but this is the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, chest has got not only lungs and the heart as the major organs, but also has got a variety of muscles, the other tissues, the breast, lymph nodes, blood vessels, many other glands. So it's a Pandora's box. Once you open up, I mean, you can see lots of organs. And luckily, Kent has described all these organs and in the chapter of chest. Then we have got a rubric called atelexis. Atelexis basically means collapse. Atelexis basically means it's a pathological rubric. And the drug given is antimtartan hyoscyamus. Now, in this part of the world, we have lots of cases of tuberculosis, or many cases of carcinoma of the lungs, or there are loads of conditions which can result. Atelexis basically is an end result of a particular disease, end result of the drug of a disease, wherein the lung, the tissue of the lung collapses and becomes useless. No air can enter inside it, and once the air is entered inside it, it gets trapped. It does not get mixed with the bloodstream, and that is why no oxygen exchange can take place. So, in this situation, the patient has got a perpetual breathlessness, and however much drugs you give, the patient hardly responds. Over a period of time, the lifestyle becomes such that he or she remains confined to bed or the chair, hardly moving about. So it's a very pathetic situation. In this situation, in this scenario, of course, the drug antimtartan hyoscyamus is given, but a better drug is antimonium arse. Antimtart and hyoscyamus, the two drugs are given, and antimonium arse is the supreme drug for atelexis, one of the finest drugs in the Materia Medica, which gives symptomatic relief, and actually it can change the patient's lifestyle from making him or her confined to bed. It can make her or him, himself move around, go to parties, meet friends, although we may drive around, do a little bit of work. So, I mean, with such drugs, you can actually help. Instead of taking steroids or instead of taking inhalers, broncho inhalers, I think such drugs, even in homeopathy, we give for inhalations. This antimarsum arsenic, we give in inhalations of 6 potency or 30 potency, or even antimtart if it's antimars is not available. And we really get good results. In fact, I would not hesitate to speak here. One of my professors of medicine, he's not pro-homeopathy, but he's a diabetic since past 25 to 30 years, and he's on insulin. And over the past 10 years, he's suffering from bronchiectasis. Bronchiectasis is collection of pus in the lungs. So he's been suffering from that. About 2 years ago, he suddenly came to me, and I was totally surprised. How come a professor of modern medicine who is not a pro-homeopath coming to seek homeopathic treatment? But anyway, he asked me, Adil, can I ask you a favor? I said, why not? I mean, I'll be obliged to do so. And he showed me his CT scans, and I saw his bronchiectasis, and he said, one part of my lung is collapsed, and that is atelexis, and they're asking me to remove that, undergo a surgery, which I don't want to do. And I have a perpetual state of breathlessness. Can you help me out? I said, fine. And for me, the breathlessness occurs only in the months of October, November, December, Jan, Feb, and March. The entire year around, I'm slightly better. I've been taking all these years multiple medications, inhalers, but I don't find much relief. So, do you have anything in homeopathy? I said, fine, sir. I really do have. And we started him first on antimtart. Antimtart did not respond much favorably. And we started him on antimars 6 daily. And for 1 month he continued. And I'm telling you, Debbie, he is so grateful to me. Every year he comes right in October and he takes his antimars. Otherwise, for 2 months he used to be on bed. For the months of November, December, when it's peak cold time, he used to be on bed. But now with antimars, he can move about, do his work, join his duties. What more do you want? Even with such a pathological condition.
And he does this in the seasons when he's most stressed?
Yeah. That is in the winter season. Winter season, he's unable to take, breathe properly. So all these years, he was on steroids, mm-hmm. and he was taking broncho inhalers, but he was not finding much relief. And he has actually, I asked him, could you give me in writing? But then, of course, you can't expect in writing from your own teachers. But anyway, he's so happy, and he sent me so many patients of from modern medicine to my side, saying that homeopathy does have symptomatic relief. I said, fine, it does have constitutional remedy, but then if you want symptomatic relief, I'm ready to give that also, as far as you acknowledge homeopathy.
Yes, so what we want to emphasize whenever we're having our talks together on the Blog Talk Radio is that even this physician had to seek professional help. You can't do it yourself, especially when it's a serious condition. You do need to have someone who knows their remedies, who knows the patient, who knows how to diagnose the disease. So this is a disclaimer or warning, whatever you want to say. Always seek a professional for help, and don't try and do it yourself.
Then another rubric is atrophy of the mammae. Now, atrophy of the mammae is basically last stage of cancer of the breast. Any of the cancer of the breast would ultimately lead to degeneration and atrophy of the breast mammae. Now, the drugs given here are conium, iodine, kaliiodine. In fact, we can only use them for symptomatic relief, because the mammae, once atrophied, it signifies that stage 4 carcinoma of the breast. That means this malignancy has spread throughout the system. And for easing the death, or if it's very, very painful, I mean, we use kaliiodine. In fact, my mother has got in the cancer breast. We have a breast clinic here. And in the breast clinic, we have got few cancer patients of the breast, wherein one of the patients, I remember, she is now 72 or 73 years, and she has right breast completely atrophied, and wherein she is having great pain, and the entire mammy has become hard as a ball, very, very hard. So here we have, I mean, she is using kaliiodine, wherein the symptomatic relief as far as the pain is concerned. Of course, the consistency and all have still now has remained same, but the pain definitely is better. I mean, that's all we can offer with this rubric, atrophy of the mammae. So this was what we had discussed last time, and we had to end the show because 1 hour was over. So I just had a recap of what we did last time. Now, going on to the rubric starting with B, we have got ball, mammae, sensation of. It's just a sensation of. Then bar of iron around sensation of. Now, this bar of iron around sensation of, which is an Argentine matricum, is very well complained of in many states, particularly when patients are suffering from, nowadays polio is not common, but whenever the certain disorders where ascending paralysis is there, Guillain-Barré syndrome or Guillain-Barré syndrome is a disease wherein you have got, it's a viral infection or post-viral autoimmune disease, wherein you have ascending paralysis. The paralysis starts from the legs, the toes of the legs, and slowly over a period of 15 days to 20 days, it ascends up and it ascends to the diaphragm. And once it does so, it is near the diaphragm, the paralysis, the patient has a peculiar sensation that is, some iron bar is around me. Please help me, doc. I can't breathe. There's an iron bar around. This is one of the situations where you can have. Initially, we used to have diseases like tetanus and poliomyelitis, wherein the patients used to have complaint of diaphragmatic palsy, and such sensations were well known. But now we have got one disease which is called Guillain-Barré syndrome or Guillain-Barré syndrome, however you want to pronounce it, which is ascending paralysis of Landry. And the drug of choice which I use is Viperra, although it's not described here, but Viperra acts excellently well. But this is the disease wherein a patient is likely to complain of a bar of iron around a sensation of. Another disorder wherein patient may complain of a bar of iron around sensation of would be acute pancreatitis. In the acute pancreatitis, the entire area becomes very sore and very painful apart from the epigastric point. Then also the patient can complain of a similar situation. So here Argentine nitricum acts as a treatment for acute pancreatitis. So one should not neglect this drug, although it's given in one mark.
Okay. You can still hear?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we have a caller. I don't know whether they understand how the show works, but If you want to listen, you just go to the Blog Talk Radio Homeopathy World Community and click on the show and listen on your radio. But we have somebody who's called in. Hello.
Yeah, please go on. Yeah.
But they're not speaking. Hello.
Anyway.
Okay, we'll just put them on hold.
Fine. Then next rubric is bleeding nipples. Bleeding nipples, very, very common. Blood coming from nipples can be a symptom of benign breast disorder, like simple inflammation of the breast, which is called mastitis, or an intraductal papilloma. See, the nipple is made up of numerous ducts, which transfer the milk from the milk glands to the nipple. So whenever you have a papilloma or a small nodule inside the duct, it is called intraductal papilloma, and therein you can have bleeding nipples. Or it can be a sign of cancer of the breast, like intraductal carcinoma instead of papilloma. Or entire lobe of the breast can be involved, which is called lobular carcinoma. Another small disease, which is called Page's disease of the breast, and in which it involves, it's actually a cancerous disease, which involves a duct as well as the skin of the nipple and results in bleeding. Women who are breastfeeding may experience cracked nipples, so you have and that can produce blood. Women who have undergone nipple piercing, I mean, a lot of fashion designers, they pierce nipples, so you can have bleeding nipples, and the bleeding may not stop. So any type of trauma to the skin of the breast can produce bleeding of the nipple area, and we do have got wonderful drugs that hemamelis, lycopodium, Merksol, sepia, sulfur. Now one would note that phosphorus is not given for bleeding nipples. One would immediately think of phosphorus, but lycopodium is given, Merksol is given, and I have a personal experience of Merksol in one of the patients for bleeding nipples. I have seen it being given and the bleeding stop it immediately with Merksol 0/1. And in fact, it was hardly 4 to 5 days ago when the female had given, was coming for bleeding of the nipples because of a malignancy. She has got malignancy, and but she was bleeding profusely. So initially, my mom was thinking of using millifolium or phosphorus, but then she saw this rubric and she started Merksol because other symptoms were matching. She had got intense thirst, etc. So Merksol was the drug, and within 2 or 3 hours, the bleeding stopped. So it's good, bleeding nipples.
Right. So again, we want to. Can you hear me? Let me see. Can you hear me? Yeah. We want to emphasize how. I'm hearing a echo on me.
I am hearing you perfectly well.
Oh. Okay. That you have to be very experienced, because even your mom, who's working in the clinic for so many years as an obstetrician and seeing the female body and all of these different symptoms, that to be able to differentiate which of these many to choose, you looked under chest, cancer, mammae, and there's 25 or so remedies to select, and to think that it could have been phosphorus, which we know is for the blood, for easily bleeding. And the other one you said, millifolium, also is another plant remedy for easily bleeding. And so to choose this metal, mercurius solubus, as a mineral for the bleeding, it's because you saw the entire picture of the individual and the other symptoms that, or the other things that were going on with this person, to be able to say, yes, this confirms my selection.
Yeah, because so that also emphasizes the fact that homeopathy is so individualistic. I mean, you just can't go on, because there's, for every rubric, you have practically 3 to 4 remedies. So which are you going to select? So ultimately, finally, you have the entire person to look upon. You have to find one prominent physical general or mental general so that it helps you to select a particular remedy of the 3 or 4.
Right. So it's not an easy thing to do, I must say.
Exactly. Now people would argue, for example, hemamelis. Hemamelis, the bleeding would be dark blood. Now, you don't get always dark blood. Lycopodium. Now, I when you read lycopodium, you don't have any of this symptom, bleeding nipples, in the materia medica at least. Merksol. Merksol, we would expect that it would be offensive. It would be pustular bleeding. I mean, pus mixed with blood. But none of this was there at all. and sulfur. Now, sulfur would not, one would never think of bleeding nipples. So, we have to see the patient in entirety. We have to see, we have to collaborate with the physical generals, either the thirst or appetite or urine or stool or some mental symptom, anyone would do. But then it should lead us to a particular correct drug. Otherwise, it would be an empirical prescription, and empirical prescriptions do not work every time. Once a time, once, okay, but not always.
Thank you. So are then there more? You're continuing with the MAMI?
I'm continuing with one very, very important and a very frequently met condition in today's times, and that is the bubble starts from heart and passes through the arteries. A very, very common terminology used here is embolism. We have very, very great number of cases of embolism coming day in and day out. Bubble starts from the heart and passes through the arteries. I initially used to think that is a sensation, but no, when we started using natrium phosphate, the only drug given here, I could not even imagine natrium phosphate acting for embolism. But I have a personal experience of a young patient who was a rheumatic heart disease patient. She is around 27 or 28 years female, and known case of rheumatic heart disease. She was also on penicillin, and her brother is under my care for some other disorder. So he just casually mentioned about a few months ago that, doc, can I share with you something? I said, what? My sister today has been hospitalized for paralysis. I said, why? She's also a case of heart disease, rheumatic heart disease. And suddenly at 4 o'clock in the morning, she got up to go to the loo. And she fell down. She fell down unconscious. We took her to the hospital, and there they said that clot has been dislodged from the heart and has gone up to the brain. And she's in a case of embolism. I said, fine. So he just asked me, can you give me a particular any drug which can help a speedy recovery? I said, whatever the event has been done. So, and although the patient has been hospitalized, you still can start with natrium phosphate. So he started with natrium phosphate 1x potency, and the recovery was much faster, and she is now walkie-talkie. It took us only 48 to 72 hours to get her back. She's so plainly lucky. Now, whether natrium phosphate did the trick or heparin, which was also given there because she was hospitalized, I don't know. But then natrium phosphate is a great, great, great help. If you have nothing else to give, at least give natrium phosphate. And you have a particular rubric. Bubble starts from heart and passes through the arteries. Another remedy, which is my own remedy, which I use very frequently for embolism, is Crotalus horridus, a snake poison. A wonderful remedy if you have a patient, very early if you are called, the first drug of choice I would give is Crotalus horridus. But if the time has passed, 12 hours have passed or more, then the drug natrium phosphate and very low potency, it may be need to be repeated for every hour till the patient responds. So we have a live experience. Bubble starts from the heart and passes through the arteries. Otherwise, a very insignificant rubric. But in today's time, embolism and stroke are very common throughout the world, and this drug then becomes very important.
If a person has had a stroke, even years ago, is there something that can be done?
Yes. Now, normally we would think of natrium sulfate in injuries to the brain, normally. But instead of natrium sulfate, why not give natrium phosphate? It has to be given in low potency, repeated over a period of time. It may be needed to be given for 2 or 3 months. But then it does respond. Years ago, even if the patient has got this, the degeneration after the stroke does stop with natrium phosphate. So we should use this rubric. A bubble starts from the heart, embolism, and even if the embolism episode has passed on, because it is such a sudden event, you don't know that you are getting an embolism, and the patient may not come to you directly. So you can't give it suddenly as it is. You need to give this drug once you are informed, but it normally takes 24 to 48 hours, and the patient is basically in the hospital that the embolic episode has taken place. Because stroke has got three reasons. One is rupture of the arteries or an embolism, which is another common thing, and third is infarction, that is the ischemia or lack of blood supply. So embolism, embolic strokes are very quite well known. So we can do one more thing is, if the patients of atrial fibrillation are there, atrial fibrillation, who are known, who are very prone to develop strokes, in such cases, empirically we can start with natrum phos 3x, 1x or 2x, so that they don't go in for embolism at all. Which I'm doing for one patient. I'm actually doing it for one patient. He's a young male, 22 years old, known case of rheumatic heart disease, but he has developed atrial fibrillation over the past 1 year. And he's on natrum phos since past 1 year.
And so he's so, taking 1x potency, a very low...
Yeah, 1x potency. Very
so
low
is,
potency.
Is this considered a cell salt? Or
yeah.
I always think of 3x or 6x as a cell salt, but 1x is a cell salt too?
Yeah, yeah. It's of course it is. And since now it's practically 1 year, and I have not stopped it particularly. So, and he's much better. I mean, even with the atrial fibrillation, he has not got any episode. And he is off allopathic drugs. He's off penicillin. He's off warfarin, which is one of the very important remedies given in modern medicine for prevention of stroke. But he is off those drugs, and he's only on natrum phos. So one for full past 1 year he's been taking, and we have been monitoring him quite regularly. So luckily, so this can then in fact be used as a rubric for prevention of embolism also.
Excellent. And would you ever do anything like alternate cell salts, as you mentioned, natrium sulf, we know for injuries to the brain, and a stroke patient, maybe they, that brain injury, the natrium sulf, or do you go simply on other signs and symptoms to select the natrium phos? Would you alternate
natrium phos
and natrium sulf?
See, natrium, no, I would not alternate. I would only give one single dose of natrium sulf in higher potency, say 1M or 10M. That's it.
Okay.
But natrium phos, see, many times, there's so many times when you don't get symptoms. The symptoms you get are so common, they don't get individualistic symptoms. So you have to rely on certain drugs which have been pathologically proved. For example, this drug, it's pathological proving, natrium phos. And so although some people may call it empirical prescription, but these empirical prescriptions sometimes do act. And natrium phos is one example of that empirical prescription, wherein you can't always get symptoms to select upon. You may not get individualistic symptoms. However, good a physician or homeopath, a good observer you are, but there are times when the settings are quite artificial. For example, in an ICCU, the patient is not sweating. Originally, if the patient is sweating, but the ICCU is completely filled with air conditioned, so you don't have sweat. The urine is completely monitored. He or she is on loads of other drugs. So in such artificial scenario, the original symptoms of patients are lost. Also, the disease symptoms are lost. So what are you going to prescribe upon? In such cases, you need to rely on such rubrics and such drugs. And in those scenarios also, such drugs do oblige. This is my experience.
Very helpful. Okay, so did you skip to embolism in the chest from the cancer axilla? Or where
no,
were
we? We were, bubble starts from the heart, no? Bubble,
oh, bubble.
We
oh, there you go. Okay. I see.
Then,
I'm going to highlight that one in yellow.
Yeah, because a very, very simple, only one drug, a very useful drug, and if I can save any one patient with this rubric, I have done my job of reading this repertory.
Yes, you have done great good deeds. Okay.
So, I think we end here with B, and then from next time, I was hoping to start with C. What do
Very,
you think?
That sounds wonderful. We have covered a lot of ground, and people are really getting the idea for the power of homeopathy in very serious conditions, not just, you know, I always teach people about bumps and bruises, scratches and scrapes, coughs and colds. I mean, for a home remedy, to have a home remedy kit, to take care of these minor things that occur on a daily basis in your house with the kids. And but when I hear you speaking, I know that it can do such great work for healing long-term and serious conditions, and you see it every day. And,
in fact, yes. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, of course, with every success, you have got 10 other failures. But once you evaluate failures, you start discussing with your colleagues, why have I failed? Is it I have failed or is it homeopathy has failed? And always I found out homeopathy does not fail. It is I who, as a physician, I as a person who must have failed because I may not have seen a particular symptom or sign, my observation was not good, or I was apprehensive. So it gives us a chance to evolve as a physician, to correct myself, be more patient, and have great, great faith in this energy medicine. It really works wonders when it has to.
Yes. I'm so pleased that you're speaking with us again, and you have much more to relate from your recent summer month of teaching. And how many students did you have?
This time we have got 30 students, a batch of 30 students, and we had got people from Malaysia, from Australia, and of course Indians were there. And we had a wonderful time. We actually discussed all these and saw it clinically. Every single rubric was discussed. That's why the timing is morning 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. at night. Continuous homeopathy, and homeopathy.
Oh, my goodness. It's such intense work.
Exactly. And because 15 days are not enough to read homeopathy, and we are cramping it. We are doing it because we don't have, lots of people don't have time. But we have got live patients. We have got evidence-based. We have got their videos. We have got their reports pre and post. So we can actually show them the working, how they act, and whatever amount of patients are there. We're quite happy that we have been able to. We show us failures also. In this case, in such and such case, we selected this rubric, but we could not succeed. So failures are more important than successes because they teach us not to do what wrong we have done.
Yes, that is absolutely true. And by having these shows with you, we spread the news far and wide. We, in the past, you have had calls from physicians asking for your help for their cases, just regular physicians, right? And you have been able to guide them. And so, again, we are asking anyone who's listening in on our shows with Dr. Adil Jimpalawala Kasim to please tell your friends, put it in your emails, put it on Twitter, put it on Facebook, wherever you are, and bring more people in to listen to this educational programming and the wisdom of an experienced physician. You know, there's no way that we can discount what you are seeing every day in the clinic, no matter what anybody else says. So I want to thank you. I know you probably need to get home, see your family, relax, have something to eat, and I know that you have given up precious time to be with us.
No. I have always enjoyed this show. It is actually, ventilation. It's a daily teaching for me, as well as I recollect all my cases, my experience. And the more you share, the more as a person you grow. Knowledge is everything to share about. You can't keep it secret. You can't keep it hiding from yourself. And you also learn once you keep on sharing. So thank you very much because for introducing me to this show. And every time, it's always a pleasure. I look forward. I tell my patients to close early because I was in the OPD. I am the So I tell my patients I have to do a show. And many of the patients are sitting outside still. Listening. So today we have got both. Normally I don't keep my patients waiting, but I've got 3 patients waiting outside, and they also are listening to my show, and I'm still in my chamber, so I have to see them first, and then I'll be going home.
Okay, so do you have a speaker that they can hear your show?
Yeah, they are just sitting behind me. Yes, listening to you.
I will wave to your patients. I will say hello, and please give him a big hug for me. Tell him how much we love him, and this is so wonderful. So we will be back again next Wednesday. And is this the correct time, or do we need to move it up a half an hour later?
No, half an hour later. 9 o'clock Indian Standard Time would be very great, good for me.
Okay, I will make the adjustment. Okay, so we will see you at 11:30 next Wednesday for our show with Dr. Adil. Thank you so much, and thanks for listening to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Heart Health and Homeopathy on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopath Debbie Brock and Dr. Adil Chimthanawala Kasim, MD cardiologist. We encourage you to follow our show, click the reminder button to receive email notices when the show airs, and share with friends on Facebook and Twitter. Please send in your comments and questions, and we'll see you next time.